Sag mal. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he deserves to be praised and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send his blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم Who knows the name of the surah which we heard in the first four rak'at? Ghafir or Mu'min. It actually has another name which many are not familiar with. The one that you find in the printed Quran is Ghafir. But it also has another name that the Salaf, our righteous predecessors, used to give that surah, and it's called Mu'min. Due to the discussion that happens between the believer from among the people of Musa or from among the people of Fir'aun against Fir'aun. Now, there are some amazing discussions that went on in that surah. And I would like to connect them with current affairs. Because it lays down the foundation of how deviance occurs and how deviant people and deviant sects fool the minds of the people. And they play around by making it seem that if you follow the Quran and the Sunnah, you have a problem. And their deviance is the correct way. A classic example is Fir'aun. It's one of the most amazing things in the world. Fir'aun says to the people, قَالَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يُبَدِّلَ دِينَكُمْ أَوْ أَن يَنْشُرَ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْفَسَادِ Fir'aun, you know who Fir'aun is. The one who said to the people, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى I am your Lord, the Most High. Fir'aun said to the people about Musa, I am afraid that he will change your deen. Or that he will spread corruption upon earth. While in reality, who is the one who's changing the deen of the people and spreading corruption upon earth? Fir'aun. So this is one of the tactics and the techniques of the people of deviance. That they will come to those who are rightly guided and they will claim that you are a Wahhabi. I like to be very straightforward. You're a Wahhabi and they are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And then you think, wait a second, I am Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I'm following the methodology and the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They say, no, you're not the real one. The real one is the one that worships the dead men in the grave. And the one who seeks wasila from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the one who does this. They have like a list of deviants. A list of them. They are supposedly Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And you, who don't worship anyone but Allah, the one who declares La ilaha illallah, and you're saying any type of shirk, I would like to distance myself from it. Any type of innovation, I have nothing to do with it. You are the quote unquote the Wahhabi who's been brainwashed in Saudi Arabia, you know, because you moved here, that you don't know any better. And they have channels. They have YouTube channels where they get excerpts from lectures for people who propagate the sunnah, and they do some amazing copy and paste distortion and editing to make it seem that you're saying something other than what you're actually saying. And then they have their little maulana who wants to come and refute and speak and what have you. It's almost comedy. Had it not been very sad, it would be comic, the least to say. But you don't get surprised. If someone like Fir'aun is going to say this, then it's normal. That's why later on in the surah he says, قَالَ مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى He's basically telling them, look, what I'm telling you is what I see. I'm only sharing with you my views. وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ And Fir'aun is saying, I only guide you to the straight path. Fir'aun with his deviance, in terms of his belief, he actually is superior to some so-called believers today. I know this is a little confusing. Fir'aun, with his deviance and disbelief in kufr, is actually superior in his belief to certain so-called Muslims today, because of a very critical subject matter that I've discussed in many lectures, and I will give you some hints at the end of the talk, inshallah, so you will refer to them. I don't want to confuse you without being able to elaborate. We understand that every prophet and messenger who was sent to their people, in terms of what they had to preach about Allah, their message is the same. From Adam, alayhi salam, going through Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, everyone, they had one unified message in terms of who Allah was and who Allah is. They changed in the legal system, in the Sharia, the halal and the haram and the do's and the don'ts. At the time of Yusuf, making sujood for the people was okay. It was a means of appreciation and thanks and respect. Today, you cannot make sujood to anyone but Allah. But their aqidah was the same. What's the evidence? The evidence is in the same surah. قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا هَامَانُ. Haman was his minister. إِبْنِ لِي صَرْحًا. I want you to build for me a tower. Why does he want a tower? لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغُ الْأَسْبَابِ. So that I may ascend. أَسْبَابَ السَّمَوَاتِ. I may ascend in the heavens. I want to go up. I want to go up. There was no helicopter back then. No rocket to send them to the space. لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغَ الْأَسْبَابِ فَأَطَّلِعَ إِلَىٰ إِلَهِ مُوسَى. I want to do this because I want to verify with my own eyes this God of Musa. Where is he? I want to see him. The question which begs itself is, where would Fir'aun get the idea that he has to go up in order to see Allah? Had it not been that Musa was teaching the people that Allah is above his creation, it would make no sense that Fir'aun would request this request if Allah was everywhere, as many people teach today. Then Fir'aun wouldn't have to go anywhere upstairs. But Musa must have been teaching, as every prophet taught, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his ummah, and we have ample evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, that Allah is above the seven heavens, above his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Fir'aun made this request. Today, you speak to the average Muslim, tell him, where's Allah? He tells you, Allah's everywhere. Ya akhi, how does it work, Allah's everywhere? Because, hasha lillah, we have, bathrooms, and we have trash bins. He will tell you, oh no, except the trash bin, except bathroom, except clubs and bars and movie theater. What is this now? Now you're saying words that no Sahabi ever said. The Prophet never said. The Imams, the four Imams, including Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, never said in their entire life. Nobody said Allah is everywhere except A, B, C, D. You are now introducing a new belief system that we never had in this whole ummah. Never. This idea is as foreign to Islam as you can imagine. It's not even from the Jews and the Christians, because even the Jews and the Christians believe that God is above. It is something from a completely philosophical Greek philosophy and mythology and all types of nonsense to believe that the Creator is mixed with His creation and that He is everywhere. So they're trying to reject that Allah Azza wa Jal is above. But if you go through the Quran, you cannot possibly deny it. You cannot deny the ample evidences. If you want to know the details, I have a lecture on YouTube titled, Where is Allah? You must watch this lecture, because this is the most important thing to know about Allah. And some people freak out when you hear you say, where is Allah? Say, Haqi, how could you ask this question? Did you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this question? The Prophet himself asked this to a slave girl. قال أين الله؟ He said, where's Allah? قالت في السماء. She said, in the state of ascension above. قال من أنا؟ He said, who am I? قالت أنت رسول الله. She said, you are the messenger of Allah. He said to معاوية, أعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. Set her free. She's a believer. Two questions. Those two questions are equal to أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. And the replacement for أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله was where is Allah? And a slave girl who didn't go to Jamia Islamia, didn't go to Azhar, didn't go to I don't know what university, she was with the shepherd, she knew. Because you make dua like this, any human being, Ya Allah, you don't say Allah, Ya Allah. It's in your fitrah, it's in inside, built in. Chipset is built in from the time you were born. That you go in that direction. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he giving his farewell pilgrimage, his farewell sermon, and this all hadith are in Bukhari and Muslim. He said to the people, أَلَا هَلْ بَلَّغْتُ? Have I conveyed the message? قَالُوا نَعَمْ. قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ فَشْهَدْ. Oh Allah, bear witness that the people are saying that I conveyed the message to them. And we have tens of evidences. I'm not going to enumerate them all now. The lecture explains them in detail. But this highlights, if we spoke about the challenge the other day, the challenge of communication and consideration amongst us, that is actually secondary to any challenge such as the challenge of our belief about Allah. The reason why we cannot possibly overcome the attacks and the enemies that continue to harm the Muslims is because we can't even agree about who Allah is. The Ash'aris, the Ash'ari is a sect within Islam, very popular in terms of their followers. Among them are people who only believe in seven qualities of Allah, only seven. The names and attributes, they only accept seven. They reject all the other ones. They say you cannot say Allah as basir, Allah can see. Because if you say Allah sees, then he's like a human being. Ya Habibi, you cannot think like this. Allah tells you sami'un basir, you say no to Allah? And you insist on making Allah like His creation? Allah already solved this problem for us. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like Allah. What are you imagining? Whatever you're imagining, it's not correct. It's inaccurate. Accept it as the Sahaba accepted it. They didn't negotiate with the Messenger of Allah about the nature of Allah's attributes. They accepted them as is. We accept them as is. Today it's a crime for you to say I accept them as is. They want you to either deny or go into detail. We don't go into detail. When Imam Malik was giving a talk among his students, and a man entered, he said to the Imam, how did Allah rise above the throne? Because the Quran says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. The man is trying to have an image. You know, you go to too many churches and you see their gods, or you see Brahma, the Hindus and the Buddhists, you start wanting to have an image of Allah. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this man must have been contaminated with this thinking. He said, how did Allah rise above the throne? Imam Malik became angry. He said, Al-Istiwa'u Ma'loom. The word is known, Istiwa is rising above. Wal-Kayfu Majhul. How is unknown? Wal-Imanu Bihi Wajib. And it's obligatory on you to believe in it. Was-Su'alu Anhu Bid'ah. And for you to even ask this question is an innovation. And he commanded that this man is thrown out of the masjid. Kicked out. Because he's spoiling now the thinking of people. Your whole life, you read the Quran, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. You never said, I wonder how did Allah rise above the throne. You don't think like that. Good, you shouldn't think like that. It's none of your business to think like that. Because whatever you imagine, it's false. Inshallah, you spend the rest of your life imagining it's false. You've never seen Allah. Nobody knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, above our imagination. But we accept the face value of the Quran and the Sunnah. So we take it in that direction. But today, the people who believe this are a minority. We have become a minority among a majority who deny Allah's names and attributes, have a twisted understanding of them, and then they, on top of that, they're involved in all types of shirkiyat, all types of shirk that is justified in the most foolish reasons. And you have to try to prove to them that we don't have any intermediaries between us and Allah. I don't need to go to this gravesite and ask anybody to intercede for me with Allah. This is what the mushrikeen were doing. قَالُوا هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. When they were questioned about their shirk, they said, no, these are only intercessors with Allah. He's a good man, I'm a bad man. I, the bad man, tell the good man, you speak to Allah on my behalf because I'm no good. This is what shirk is. This is the epitome of shirk. Because you're treating Allah like you treat your boss. You're a bad employee, he's a good employee, you tell the good employee, tell the boss to give me a break. This is how you treat human being. With Allah, you have the answer in the Quran. قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. We heard it today. أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call on me, I will respond to you. خَلَاص. What are you negotiating afterwards? He was the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. He taught the people how to make dua. He didn't tell them, come ask me to make dua on your behalf. And when the people asked him, he was alive, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he were alive amongst us, you can go ask the Messenger of Allah, because his dua was accepted by Allah. After he passed away, it's done. That door is closed. People go to the Masjid al-Nabawi and commit shirk in the Masjid al-Nabawi. His heart is attached to the grave. What about the Lord of the Masjid, ya akhi? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who hears you, sees you, knows your affair. Ajeeb. It's mind poisoning. Ala kulli hal, you come across these ayat and you realize that this is the tactic of the people of deviation. They twist facts, they exaggerate, they lie, they copy paste and make it seem that your sound belief system is corrupt and that you are ruining the ummah. And supposedly they are the one who are safeguarding the ummah. But don't be fooled by the numbers. You go back home, you find the majority are of some other opinion. Numbers don't mean anything in Islam. وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This is Allah's statement in the Quran. If you obey the majority of people on earth, they will mislead you from the path of Allah. And Islam began strange. بَدَى الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبُ وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى. And Islam will go back to that state of strangeness, just like it started. The Sahaba were a few. And as you reach the end of time, those who believe properly will be a few. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. But you give glad tidings to those strangers. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us among them. And if you are interested in hearing these talks, or sharing them with your family members or friends, the Facebook page is called One Way to Paradise. One Way to Paradise. We are uploading the MP3 file on the website or on the page. You can download the link and you can listen to it on your phone and you can share it with others. The talks we had before, including tonight, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.